Hallelujah. Listen, I've lived long enough to see God's word fulfill itself. So even if you find yourself in a moment and in a season where you're just waiting for him to do what he said that he would do. He said that all things work together for the good. So sometimes we're just waiting, and in our waiting, we become weary.
Yes, yes.
But God made us a promise. He said, they that wait, don't stop waiting, don't stop hoping, and don't stop believing. Because what the enemy intended for evil, God intended to bring life, to save many. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this moment and in this hour. Father, that even as I've gathered your word, Father, Father, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that as I decrease, that you would increase within me. That is no longer I, but it's Christ that stands and speaks before your people. But Father, may they hear your word, for this is the very thing our pastor has declared for this year and this time of our lives, that we might hear your voice. Father, that we might cleave to it. For your word declares that it is our life in the length of our days, Father. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, good morning again. Good morning. Let me see if we have any first-time attenders. Visitors. We got visitors. Amen. Amen. Glory to your name, Lord God.
Yes, God.
Well, today I have a word. I'm going to continue on in the series that Pastor has declared for this year, and it is The Voice. Pastor desires that each and every one of us hear the voice of God at a greater level and to a greater degree. This is his passion for the church, which is you. And so I'm going to continue on in it. Part two of this series title is Avoiding a Hardened Heart. Avoiding a hardened heart. Man, I can. I got to stay on my notes today, but I can tell you what, if your heart is hard, it's hard to hear the voice of God. It's hard to hear. But if you would turn with me to Psalms 95 and verse 7.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I like it. Psalms 95, beginning in verse 7. If you dare say amen. If you're not, we got it right here on the screen. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my works. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Amen. God speaks. God always speaks. From the beginning, he's spoken, and he still continues to speak. The question is, are we willing to hear his voice? Is our heart right? The verse here in Psalm 95, it shows you that first we have to identify who he is. He says, for he is our God. and who we are to him. We're his people. And it shows that he cares and that he speaks. And he says, to harden not your hearts as in the day of rebellion. To harden not your hearts. Because there is an association, there's a link between a hardened heart and sin, hardened heart and rebellion. The surest way, I'm sorry, my voice just cracked like I'm a young man. The surest way not to hear the voice of God is to have a hardened heart. But what is a hardened heart? How does your heart get to that place? Well, a hardened heart is defined as tenaciously unwilling or marked by tenacious unwillingness to yield. It is stubborn. It is arrogant, stiff-necked, disobedient. It's prideful, bullheaded, strong-minded, and a strong will. And I'll deal with just a couple of those in there because I know them. I know them personally. I know a couple of these here, like the arrogance, the stubbornness, the pride, the disobedience. See, before I came here to Victory, see, all of those were top in my life. They were like, let's see, stubborn, number one. My wife giggled like I ain't been delivered. Stubborn, arrogant, prideful, disobedient. This is what's a hardened heart. This is what consists or lives within a heart. And before I got here, that was me. That was me. How did I get there? How did I get to a point of a hardened heart where I was unwilling and or unyielding to the voice of God? Because at every stage of my life, whatever it is that I was doing at that age, whether it was in my teens, in my young adult years, in my mid years, or now, everywhere I went, everything I did, everything I put my hand to, everything I put my mind to, I was good at it. I was good. And you know what happened? They told me I was good. The small group of people that I kept around me, they told me that I was good. And it's something else when your little group you hang with and they tell you how awesome you are. Yeah, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm, nah, it's just, I know, it just works out for me, nah. But deep inside, you're like, yeah, I know. I'm good. Not only do I think I'm good, everyone is telling me. Everyone in my small little circle is telling me that I'm good. And so when it came time for God to speak in my life, he was telling me something a little bit different. He was telling me, like, listen, Mike, don't think so highly of yourself. I didn't say it to him, but I used to say it. I can't help it. Everybody's saying it, and I kind of believe it because everything that I'm doing is working out. It is awesome. And if it's also awesome, therefore I am awesome. God said, listen, Mike, that's not quite how it goes, because the route that you're going right now is your heart is becoming hardened, that even as I'm speaking to you, you're disregarding my voice, you're disregarding my word. And I'm like, God, I hear your word, but listen, I also, your word is speaking, but I'm seeing what I'm doing. And it's good. It's good. He says, wait on it. Wait on it. Because in Proverbs 16 and 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty or a prideful spirit before the fall. See, God was trying to tell me, he was trying to grab hold of me like, listen, it's because of me, because of the things that I placed inside of you that you are able to walk, but I don't want you to become prideful or too prideful, thinking it's all in yourself. That you came up with this, that you had this resource in and of yourself. That's the same thing that the enemy did. The Bible says that he is a liar and the father of it. When he speaks a lie, he speaks his own. The one translation says he speaks from his own resources. This is something that the enemy came up with all by himself. That's not what the father told him. It's not. But the enemy went back then. His name used to be Lucifer. He used to say, he said all these things. There were several eyes that he said that I will do this. I will sit in the mountains of the congregation. I will be like the Most High. And back then, there, to be honest, there was a lot of eyes in Mike. I'm good. That was all of them. I'm good. But I want to tell you the word of God is true. It's true. It's true. I still consider myself a young man, but I'm telling you, I live long enough to see God's word move. And it's so alive and active in my life. And it was that way even when I walked contrary to him. So you don't, listen, I don't want anyone to be deceived, or, well, I'm not saved, so I don't have to listen to the word of God. I don't have to, I can be ignorant to it. Well, you can be ignorant, but his word is still going to be alive and active. If you are alive, then his word is alive and active in your life. Listen, you will reap what you sow. Listen, that has a twofold connotation. Listen, you're going to reap. See, when offering time, we're so joyous to God, I got seed, I'm going to sow it, and a harvest is going to glory. Thank you. But then when we're doing the things contrary to God, and God said, you're going to reap what you sow, that don't apply. That don't apply. Man, it applies. It applies. It applies. I remember God told me, and this is a true story. I won't go into the depths of it, but God told me years ago, he told me, I heard his voice, and he said, you're going to reap what you sow. And instead of me being so excited to hear the voice of God, I responded to him, it ain't possible. You want to say arrogance? This is at a whole nother level. Now, I've been delivered, I'm saved, everyone. This was when I was in my 20s. He said, you'll reap what you sow, and I responded to him. I responded to the Almighty God, and I said, listen, I mean, sometimes I'm still baffled by how I responded to God, whose voice I heard. He said, you'll reap what you sow, and I told him, it's not possible. Literal me. The created thing. I told him it's not possible. Well, listen. Oh, I reaped everything that I sowed. See, we get messed up when whatever the thing is, we think, well, that can't come back at me. But listen, if you sow heartache and pain, you're surely going to reap heartache and pain. We try to look at events as if, well, that event can't happen. But listen, don't concentrate on the event, but concentrate on what you're doing. Because if you sow, you're going to reap it, period. This is why God tells us to love, to constantly love, and love never fails, because if you sow that, you're going to reap it. Amen? Amen. Pride. There was another one that's shown in the Bible who was very prideful. And that was Pharaoh. If you would turn to Exodus chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. See, in those days, Pharaoh was like a god. And truth be told, I won't get into all of that, but every plague that God did dealt with a god of Egypt. But Pharaoh was the god in Egypt. And we find here in verse 1 of chapter 5, it says, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, this is what the Lord has said. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Moses and Aaron said, this is what the Lord has said. And here Pharaoh's response, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Once again, Pharaoh had a reason to be arrogant. It was the culture in Egypt. He was the man. He was the God. And Pharaoh came out in all of his little glory saying, that like, listen, who is the Lord? Who is he that I should obey? See, that's a hardened heart. And when we find in these chapters, listen, God hardened Pharaoh's heart several times, and then twice it says that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. He strengthened his own resolve. He's like, listen, I'm not letting him go. Oops, I let him go. I'm about to go get him. But Pharaoh, and all that he is or was back then, he declared, and it wasn't, I don't even know if it was so much him being disrespectful to our God, but rather, who is he? I am God. So who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Many times in my own life, and I'll speak constantly about my life because I can't speak about yours. But I had that same attitude. I didn't say it. But who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? And what happens next, it's the same thing that happened to Pharaoh. Why? And Egypt. Because a hardened heart is contagious. A hardened heart is contagious. If Pharaoh had a haughty heart or prideful heart, then surely all of Egypt had that same heart, all of them. So when they looked at the children of Israel, they were like, you guys are beneath us. Why? Because we're Egyptians. You are in the land of Egypt. A hardened heart, whether you realize it or not, if you are a parent, if you have a hardened heart, then you cause that same thing to begin to develop inside of the hearts of your children. And not only your children, if you got a job where you have any level of influence, whatever your heart is like, you cause everybody to have that same type of heart that's following around you, that or you have the influence over. That's why it's so important when I talked about at every level of every stage of my life, I have people constantly telling me what I was and how good I was. And so you know what? I didn't shoo them away. I kept them close. Why? Because they said things that was pleasing to my flesh, to my ego. And if I had a prideful, arrogant heart, surely everyone that I had influence in or over, they had the same heart. Birds of a feather. Yes. This is why it's key. This is why it's so key to, the Bible says to guard your heart. I want you to guard your heart. I do want you to get there, but first I need you to see and know what your heart is. You have to know. You can't go around blind thinking that, oh, I'm walking on lilies and there's rainbows and cotton candy clouds everywhere I go. No. No, because there's something in your heart. There's something in your heart. There's something in your heart. And what brings it out are circumstances. Circumstances. Circumstances speak with a voice that causes the heart to harden. Circumstances. It's always circumstances. It's never anything else. It's always circumstances. A circumstance is a fact or condition connected with or relevant to an event or action. It's always, there was a circumstance today. It was a circumstance. There was an event. We got a ton of snow. And when we looked out at the circumstance, we began to have something in our heart. It's always a circumstance, because when we look at the circumstance, we begin to say what we think, what we feel, what we know. And we come to our own conclusion about what ought to be because of a circumstance, disregarding the voice of God. It's always a circumstance. And when God speaks and you don't want to hear it, then your heart begins to harden. And then what do? You get around a lot of people that think just like you're thinking. You have to know what your heart is like. What's in your heart? Because before you know it, not only is it you and a few people, because of the people that those people influence and interact with, now you got a whole sect of folk feeling and acting and saying things that's contrary to what God has said. And guess who's responsible for that? God does use people. He does. You'll say, Mike, don't do that. And I was like, I'm going to disregard that. I'm like, I did not hear that. And I'm going to do it anyway. And when Mike is disobedient to the word that was spoken and I do it anyway, it creates another circumstance that affects another area. Listen, I want you to see that is, before you can guard your heart, you got to know what condition your heart is in. What is it? Is it a hardened heart? Is it a stony heart? Is it unfeeling? Is it uncaring? Is it Mike's way, or it doesn't matter? It's Mike's way. Listen, I'm in charge. We gonna be in church till 1:30. Ain't a whole lot of you here today, so I can see when you try to get up. Ooh, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Is my heart hardened because all of a sudden I'm the one who is the man? Now things are going to happen the way I think they ought to happen. Why? Because I'm that guy now. See, the old man, or this, the one that had the stony or hardened heart, like, listen, it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. Listen, I'm the man. So I'm going to do what I want to do. Patrick said, don't do this. Guess what? I'm going to do it. Because we have this silly, silly quote that's horrible. But if you don't know it, you've done it before. If you lived any time on earth, better to ask forgiveness. Or better to ask forgiveness than permission. That's horrible. I got kids. That's horrible. Don't do that. what condition is your heart in? Because truth be told, the older you are, it's harder to correct. It is. You don't want to hear from nobody. Or you'll say you only hear from a few people that live 800 miles away. I only listen to this person. Well, that person ain't here. Are you talking about you only listen to them? You don't think God want to use anybody else around you? Well, if God want to speak to me, he'll get it to me. Be careful. Be careful. To hear the voice of God. Because when I got here at Victory at Liberty, I was a mess. I was a mess. My heart had hardened. Because of circumstances that had occurred in my life. I even told my wife, I don't want to hear from nobody. My mom and dad don't want to hear from no pastor. You want to hear the arrogance level again? Listen, I've been saved. I'm delivered. So I ain't afraid to tell you. I told her, I don't want no pastor to come try to say nothing to me. I'll cut them up with the same word they try to give me. My heart was hardened. Hardened. And a stony heart is unfilling. It's unfilling. So even though there are those who would come to really try to, because they love you, try to help you, you take it as some sort of offense and you lash out at them. Why? Because, and then you begin, I'm guarding my heart. You're guarding a stony heart. No. I remember when God was doing all this work in me, and the first thing God told me to do when he began to do all this work, he began to send me to people to apologize to. And I was so happy. I was like, because I knew I did them wrong. I went running joyously, like, listen, you remember that time? Yeah, I said, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, and I prayed you forgive me. That was easy. And there was a few more people he sent me. I was like, yeah, I did do that. I did them wrong. I'm going to go. Bill, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I mean, you're not height challenged at all. You are the standard. I'm sorry. And it was so easy because I knew I had offended Bill. And I prayed that Bill forgives me. And each time they spoke back to me and they said, I forgive you. And then God sent me to someone that I ain't do nothing to. Didn't do anything to him. God said, okay, I need you to go to Rashid. That ain't him. I just made that up. He said, I need you to go to Rashid and tell him you're sorry and ask his forgiveness. And I said, I'm not. I didn't do anything wrong. He did it. See, God, I began to tenderize my heart, and I was feeling so good. And I was like, this is going to be easy. And then he sent me to one whom I didn't do anything. And I said, I'm not. I didn't do anything to him. He did it to me. I'm not. And you know what God said next? Nothing. Because he knew I heard him the first time. I soaked around for about a week. Hardening my own heart. I'm not. I'm talking to myself. It's like, God, I'm not. I didn't do anything wrong. Definitely not going. But because I love him, I said, okay, I'll go. And this was after about 2 weeks. I said, I'll go. And I went to the gentleman, and I just began to tell him because of what God has done, and I know God told me to come and do this, so I have to be obedient to God, because he also knew what I was and who I stood for. And I said, you know, I'm sorry for anything I may have said that hurts you or disrespectful. I'm so sorry. Anything that you've done to me, I told him I forgive you, but I don't trust you. As soon as I said that, second part, the Spirit of God convicted me. He said, I didn't tell you to say that. See, God was working on my heart. He was tenderizing my heart, and I was being kind of obedient. And I told him, I forgive you, but I don't trust you. And Holy Spirit said, I didn't tell you that. And I was like, I walked away. I said it. He said it again. I didn't tell you to say that. Go back. I didn't. And once again, God didn't say another word to me. Because it's hard to get any other instruction from God when you disobey the last one. So about another week passed, and the conviction was just on me. And I was like, I messed that up. I have to go back. And it's something else when you have to go back because of you messed. God, listen, I was obedient on the onset of it. I was like, okay, God, I'm going to do it. And I went to start talking because dealing with this one issue with this that I had with this one man because of my heart, the hardness of my heart, it was like, yes, I forgive you. I pray you forgive me, but I don't trust you. See, God was tenderizing my heart, but right at the end, I toughened it up again. I needed him to know that, listen, I ain't fooling with you. Why? Because it's me. See, as you begin to go through these things, you begin to, at one point, see, at some point, you have to surrender the throne of your heart to God. You have to let him reign in you and in your heart, because whatever's in your heart, that's what's going to come out. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can't say, oh, that was just in my head. No, that was in your heart because you said it. So I went back and I told him, and I told him, hey, listen, I said all this, and up to this part was just, I was supposed to say, and I'm sorry, I do forgive you. I pray you forgive me. And I also said this, that I forgive you, but I don't trust you. And God told me to come back. Said I wasn't supposed to say that. And I prayed you forgive me for that last statement that I said in your presence. And he began to say back to me, like, thank you. He's like, because that bothered him. That whole week that I was walking around just being stubborn. I don't know where I got that from. But at some point, you have to surrender the seed or throne in your heart to God. Because, see, if you allow God to tenderize your heart, that becomes contagious as well. It does. See, when your heart is tender, you hear the voice of God. God says, we're going to do this today. And you're going to say, yes, Lord. I'm going to do it with a joyful heart. Why? Because he said it. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I feel. It does not even matter what I know. God, there's a lot of snow out there. God was like, oh, I didn't even look out the window. I didn't even notice. Sorry. God said, I know. We're still going to do this. Because God, we have to surrender. Because of 1 Peter 5:5, we have to humble ourselves. To humble ourselves. 5:5, 1 Peter says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Amen? All the younger people are like, I don't. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. And be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace, as we know, that we define it in church, is unmerited favor. So if you're prideful, and then a prideful person always look at the humble one as if, like, listen, he's like that because he ain't me. And then the arrogant one get upset because the humble one is being blessed. They're getting favor. Now, how is this possible? I'm the man. Yet that guy who wants to be me seems to be the one to keep getting blessed. Why? Because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares on him. Why? For he cares for you. Casting all of your cares. To humble ourselves, to surrender our hearts to God. Because, and to give it all to him. It makes no sense whatsoever to keep any aspect. Because what we always keep to ourselves are the things that bother us. God, I don't want nobody to see it. I don't even want to talk to you about it. Because it's ugly. Something we say to God that he already sees and knows. It's like the little child that got the sore and the parent is trying to mend the wound. And the parent needs to touch it. But the kid is like, oh, don't touch it. But God wants to touch it. We're constantly like, God, no, don't, because it ain't right. It's not right. But God not only wants to, you want him to touch it. Why? So that you can hear his voice. Because once again, it's really hard to hear the voice of God with a hardened heart. And it's impossible to obey with it. If that's what you walk in. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 36, and I'll be rounding home here shortly. Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning in verse 23. And this word here speaks directly to me. It's as if God himself was speaking to just me alone. And I pray that you would have this same heart when it comes to these verses of scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 36, 23, starting with verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you, before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and you will keep my commandment, my judgments, and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. These verses speaks directly to my heart. He says that I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. When I hollow God before the people. And how do you hollow God? You make him what he is in your life, holy, sanctified, set apart. He is God, and I am not. This is how you make God hallowed in your life. When he is declared king in your life, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you thought should have occurred. Because if it's happening in any other way other than what you thought, guess what you just found out? You just found out that you're not God. And we are to be just like Christ when he said, not my will, but thine be done. If we walk around once again in any level thinking, well, I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to say that, or I'm going to do this just because, and we thought because it should have went a certain kind of way, then you just found out a tremendous truth that he is God and I am not. He is the sovereign one. He is the holy one. He says, once this occurs, he says, then he would take the stone or the stony heart from us and give us a heart. See, this has been, and my wife can attest to this, this has been my prayer coming into this year. This is why David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit or a steadfast spirit within me. Because David knew that only God can do the very thing that he was incapable of doing, and that's cleaning his own heart. You can't do it. You cannot clean your own heart. This is why every day I go through Psalms 51, the whole thing. Because this is my heart. I don't want to take the same dirty heart that I had in 2018 into this year, 2019. Why? Because I want to hear him. I want to draw closer to him. He said if I was to draw closer, he would come closer. This is my heart's desire. Not to trust my own heart. I spent a number of years trusting my own heart. I spent a number of years following after my own heart. I hear people say, well, I'm just going to follow my heart. Well, unless your heart is telling you to follow Christ, don't listen to it. Because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Why would you follow that? You don't follow. Unless you surrendered that seat that in your heart to Christ, don't follow your heart because it's going to lead you wrong. It can't lead you any other way. Why? Because it's wicked. It's wicked. It's deceitful. Your heart lies to you. That's what it does. But God desires to take the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. And I'm here to tell you, if you allow God to do that, then everything that follows after that with you and as you walk with him becomes so much clearer. It doesn't mean when something happened, you won't feel a certain kind of way, but you won't respond according to your feelings. You'll respond according to the word of God. This is what happens when you to avoid the stony heart so that you can hear, because we declared, Pastor declared that 2019 shall be our greatest year. hear me. Because I'll say it and I'll say it again. That every time he speaks, every time, and I've been here, every time he declares something in a new year, every time, I tell you we go through it. And if you sit up here and you pump your fist, and, amen, yes, this shall be our greatest year. And I want you to believe that. I want you to grab hold of it. But I also need you to be ready. And I need you to understand that if this is your greatest year, then it shall also be filled with your greatest challenges. It can't go any other way. It can't go any other way. If you say that this shall be our greatest year, that I shall hear the voice of the Lord and I shall obey it and I shall follow after it, then surely the chatter of the enemy shall increase as well. Because every time my God speaks, the enemy comes right after. And you have to have that heart of flesh so that you can discern what is God and what is not. What differentiates between what the truth is and a lie is usually one word. Hasha, God said that in the day that you eat of the tree, you will die. The enemy came and added one word, said the same statement. He just said, not. One word changed it all. And he said that if you eat of the tree, you will not surely die. But see, if your heart ain't right, if you have a stony heart, it's hard to see where the truth is and the lie begins. This is why we need God to touch our hearts. This is why we need to hear from him more clearer, because the chatter in 2019 from the enemy will surely increase. But we trust our God. There's many things you won't know this year, but you have to trust God. What is he saying in your heart? What is he saying? What is he saying to us? Stand with me. And I'm going to ask, especially all the leaders to come. What it is that you do. Every leader to come forward. Because I'm going to pray. Now, this isn't just for the leaders. So if you feel in your heart that you want God to do something in you and to touch your heart so that you don't have a heart of stone, then I want you to come up as well. But I am almost, I don't want to force anyone's will, but I'm almost mandating that leadership comes forth. Because it's so easy to pick those things back up that God told us to put down. It's so easy to begin to toughen our hearts and to harden our hearts once again when God has done a tremendous work in you. Hallelujah. Stephen, I'm going to cover you as well in this. Everyone, I like it. I like it. Hold your heart. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I come before you. And Father, I lift up the leadership in everyone under the sound of my voice. Father, that even as they moved, Father, they heard your word, Father. And Father, I ask, Father, that you would do the miraculous thing in us. Father, that you would remove the stony hearts and, Father, give us a heart of flesh, Father, a heart that cares and a heart that loves. A heart that is obedient to your voice, not one we do not compromise concerning your word, but Father, we want to walk in it, Father. Father, we surrender our hearts to you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we surrender it all, Father. Father, even our thoughts, Father, we give to you, Father. Our hearts, we give to you. Our actions, Father, we give it all to you, Father. For we desire to see you and know you, Father, and hear you to such a greater degree, Father, than how we came into this year, Father. Father, for even as this year has come, Father, and there has been so much chatter from the enemy, Father, we rebuke the enemy right now in the name of Jesus, for he has no authority over the children of the Most High, Father. And Father, I pray that the ears are unclogged, Father, that we might hear, Father, and that we might see your word, Father, in the name of Jesus, and that we may follow after it, Father. Father, for this is our desire, Father, for we need this moving throughout this year and throughout our days, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that in this moment, Father, may your word which has been spoken, may it go forth, Father, that even as it's entered into the minds of your people, may it fall down deep into their hearts, Father. Father, that they might see and know that you are El Shaddai, that you are the Almighty God, that you are the great I am. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, do it for your glory. Do it for your great and mighty name. Do it for your people. Each and every one that stands before you with hands to their hearts, Father. Father, that we might love one another, that we might humble ourselves before you and before man. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we won't fail to praise you, give you all the honor and all the glory, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. 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 I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name in all the earth. I bless your homes. I bless your jobs. I bless your finances. I bless your seeds. To everyone who here has a child, I bless your womb if you don't have one. I bless everything that God intended for your very purpose. May you be so energetic, so full of life, so full of blessings that you do what? Give it away to someone before you leave today. Amen. Amen.